السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Good evening, Khuyanand Mulwani, and a hearty welcome to the Shahida Kali Show. So, of course, we started last week and we started a two-part series where we're focusing on gender justice and gender injustices. And my guest last week and will also be this week is Patrick Godana, who is the Men Care Government and Media Management of Sonke Gender Justice. And so we have Patrick on the line to continue with this conversation. Good evening, Patrick, and welcome to the program.
Good evening to you, and thanks for having me, and good evening for the listeners wherever they are.
So thank you so much again, Patrick. I know that you're out of town, and really for you to be a part of the program when whilst you are away is highly appreciated, and I just need you to know that we appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Patrick, so last week we spoke much about certain aspects of gender justice, and perhaps just to start off again, in case someone didn't listen last week, I just want us to very briefly touch base and explain the organization Sonke Gender Justice. You know, what do you do, and who would be people who would align themselves with you or become members of your organization, please?
Thank you. Well, Sonke Gender Justice is a non-governmental organization that is based in the Western Cape, Johannesburg, Mpumalanga, and Bushbuck Ridge. And also, we are on the verge of opening an office in the Eastern Cape very soon.
Mm-hmm.
We work very close with our government when there's a need for that, so as to strengthen government as well. But also, we work a lot with a number of civil society organizations across the length and breadth of the country.
Mm-hmm.
As an organization, we also work in the beautiful continent Africa and the larger globe as well. We are part of a number of collaborations that are happening in the region.
Mm-hmm.
In Africa, there is Africa Men Engage. We are the outgoing coaches in the continent, but we are the global coaches together with Promundo of Brazil in the Men Care, in the Men Engage Global Alliance.
Yeah.
But also we are part of the Men Care campaign that is happening in 32 countries in the world.
Yeah.
And the recent conference that actually took place after the one that was held in Cape Town 2011, it was in East Asia, very
yes.
recent. That was the conference that we had for Men Care Global Alliance. So we are part of that kind of collaboration. Collaborations are across the globe.
Yeah.
We are very much instrumental in the South African National AIDS Council, which is the driving force for the prevention and the treatment of HIV in the country, but giving strategies
yes.
for the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And we are one of the many civil society organizations who at this point in time, because of the high levels of violence in our country and the non-leadership that is actually non-existent from our own government
mm-hmm.
around issues of gender-based violence in our country.
Yeah.
You will remember that since the beginning of January, our country, South Africa, has been inundated by numerous levels of violence.
Mm-hmm.
The latest case was the case of Karabo, who became the face of the many people in the country.
Yes.
How can we forget to talk about our own young person in Essence River, who was also murdered in a merciless fashion?
Yes.
And we remember that our own president went there, and again, he made that empty promise to say the Zuma Foundation will continue to grant support to the family.
Yeah.
And how many victims of violence in South Africa felt that the president would make that commitment to them?
Mm-hmm.
Very clear. So no wonder we are part of this number of organizations who are calling upon our own government to come up with a clear national strategic plan to combat gender-based violence in our country, but also to give a clear guideline in terms of how are we going to be embarking in doing that. We've got enormous research from credible entities
yes.
in our own country. Human Research Council has given the country research around gender-based violence.
Mm-hmm.
Medical Research Council, our own in Cape Town, has given numerous reports and findings around gender-based violence, especially intimate femicide.
Yeah.
So shocking and latest statistics around intimate femicide is that every 8 hours in our country, a woman dies at the hand of the loving partner.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you divide 8 by 24 hours of that make it a day,
yeah.
it will give you 3, which means 3 women are dying at the hands of their own partner in our country.
Yeah.
If you multiply 3 by 7 days of the week, that's 21. That's damning.
Yeah.
That's really, really mind-blowing. It's
yes.
a shame for our own country.
Yes.
And if you remember the report presented to all of us in the country by KPMG,
mm-hmm.
that the cost of violence in this country amounts from the tune of 28 to 40 billion per annum. That's too much.
Yeah.
So we are saying to government, set aside X amount of money,
mm-hmm.
have a clear and a fully funded plan for us to really end and reduce this cause of gender-based violence. We've done it as a country.
Yeah.
Remember HIV and AIDS in the late 90s in this country
mm-hmm.
was a huge challenge. Who can forget, because we're in the month of women, who can forget Kuku, who was stoned to death because she disclosed the status on HIV and AIDS?
Yes.
They may have soul rest in peace in the month of August.
Mm-hmm.
I want to salute those people again.
Yeah.
Remember, such matters made our own government to come into their own senses, to come up with a clear plan to combat HIV and AIDS in our own country.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask me in my sleep, I can tell you how many people that are living with virus HIV in the country, how many people that are having treatment in the country. I will tell you.
Mm-hmm.
We can even break down to many districts of our own country
yeah.
because we're having a clear political will, we're having a clear strategy to end HIV in our own country.
Yeah.
We can even employ the same approach in our own country.
Mm-hmm.
We said last week, and I want to resume where I started to say, gender-based violence, nobody is born violent.
Mm-hmm.
It is a learned behavior.
Yeah.
And we are convinced, if it's a learned behavior, it can be unlearned as well.
Yeah.
So for us, re-socialization, re-education, redefining manhood for many of us would help us to really move away from this quagmire of looking down upon women of our own country.
Mm-hmm.
We give them the dignity and respect they deserve. But if you say to me, we are in the month of August.
Yes.
Jaida, you know, I have got nothing that excites me to really, really celebrate
mm-hmm.
Women. I feel so sad because of the number of gross violations happened to women of our own country.
Yeah.
In 2017.
Yes.
It's very sad. You remember 4 years ago, Anine Boysen
mm-hmm.
died
yes.
at the hands of men.
Yes.
And our president, even there, made a promise. She even instructed the then minister, Elulu Kengwana, to come up with a clear plan.
Yeah.
Where is that plan? That plan is not here. For as long as there is no political will, you know, we will never win a battle against gender-based violence.
Yeah.
I mean, let me even name and shame it, men's violence against women
yeah.
in the country.
Yes.
We need a very decisive move from government. And I'm saying government simply because government has got a responsibility
yes.
to protect and defend the citizens.
Yeah.
But also every South African,
mm-hmm.
every household, we've got to do parenting differently.
Yeah.
How we parent and how we demonstrate parenting in front of our own children
yeah.
will really, 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 really help our own children to behave differently. I said last week, children hear less of what we say
yeah.
and see more of what we do. It begins with us as parents.
Yeah, and thank you so much for that. I really appreciate that introduction. I'd like to come back and ask you, the men care campaign. What is this campaign setting out to achieve? And who are these men that you are targeting, and possibly also the boy child? So we continue with our conversation, and we're talking about gender justice. Patrick, the international campaign, which is the Men Care campaign, Global Alliance campaign. What's the campaign about? Who are you targeting? And is the man in the street targeted? Because I wanted to know, who are the men that you're targeting to get what outcome, please?
Yeah, the prime objective of the Men Care campaign is to encourage emotionally connected fathers in the lives of their own children. It is to encourage a non-violent fatherhood, but also encourage non-violent parenting. And the approach is about focusing on fathers first, and ultimately we move gradually to parenting session. And by parenting session, I mean both partners, the yes. mom and dad.
Mm-hmm.
And the focus of our catchment in our own program is men across the spectrum, men from all walks of life.
Mm-hmm.
And when we started the campaign in South Africa, we were piloting it in the Western Cape. We worked very close with the province, with the provincial health department of the Western Cape, and very close with the Department of Home Affairs as well,
yeah.
in the provincial sphere.
Yes.
And, you know, I must say to you, with maternal child care centers in the province, we worked very close with them. Your Michael Mapongwane, you know, your observatory, Kukuletu, a number of them participated in this global initiative.
Yes.
And we've seen a number of fathers, one, that were not participating initially
yes.
in the antenatal sessions.
Yeah.
Because the issue around sexual and reproductive health
mm-hmm.
for a long time has been seen as the prerogative and the burden of women.
Yeah.
And we had a deliberate intention, that of saying it takes two to tango,
mm-hmm.
but also to ease the burden of parenting, you know, for us. And also, if we want to unwind levels of gender-based violence, at a critical stage of delivery, it is very, very important that we expose men in that stadium. And, you know, we work with a number of men. As I said to you, we will work through these maternal child health facilities.
Mm-hmm.
And we recruit through their partners.
Yes.
We leave out forms of invitation
yeah.
for their partners who, one, wanted to be part, but unfortunately, because of work constraints,
yes.
they were not freed from their own workplaces.
Mm-hmm.
Two, because of the gender stereotype, to say clinics are meant for women.
Yeah.
Once you present yourself, even if you're accompanying someone,
yes.
you're a sissy. Because of those stereotypes as well, that continue to exist in our own communities. But also the level of understanding in terms of inclusive parenting.
Yeah.
You know? But I must tell you, we received huge response from men
yeah.
whom we recruited through their partners
yes.
you know, to participate in our fatherhood program.
Yeah.
And I must say to you, because of the nature of the maternal child health, even the security personnel...
Patrick?
Working,
yeah.
Hello?
Yeah. So coming back, this is our second week. We're focusing on gender justice. And so there are two... parts that I'd like to still visit in terms of this conversation. The one is, I'd like to ask, you know, Patrick, whether you're drawing in organizations, sports clubs, faith-based organizations, schools, schools and eventually also corporates, whether you're working with men on that level as well. And if you have started, what has been their response, please?
Thank you so much. As I said, our focus in this endeavor, in many endeavors of Sonke, mm-hmm. is to work with men across the spectrum.
Yes.
That means men on the street, men in their own neighborhood, mm-hmm. Men at the corporate, men in sporting fraternals.
Yes.
That has been our approach as Sonke, mm-hmm. because we want to go where men have spend their time the most. We even go to shebeens and taverns.
Yeah.
Not only in the faith-based spaces only. With the campaign Men Care, we even went to Tafelsaf, you know.
Yeah.
I remember next to the mosque, we had a facility from the department that we were actually operating from.
Mm-hmm.
So there were a number of men that were participating.
Yeah.
But also the intervention that we were doing in South Africa was also linked with the one in Botswana and in Namibia. Mm-hmm. So it was a regional intervention simultaneously.
Yes.
So the response of these men, as I was saying, one, how they were socialized.
Yes.
You know, it made them to distance themselves from issues of maternal child health.
Yeah.
Secondly, the very fact that the same man has got no reference of a present father in his own life makes things difficult for him,
mm-hmm.
to have a kind of a clear idea of what it is.
Yes.
And what is expected around parenting.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know that there's a number of books that speaks about women and pregnancy, women and their own health. And because very, very few material around men and pregnancy, mm-hmm. men and parenting, you know.
Yes.
So we're bringing another fashion in the region to say this is what we need to be talking about, you know.
So you are trying to attend to the matter of father absence.
Absolutely, because the idea is about connecting children with emotionally with their own parents.
Yes,
you know, and as I said to you, we are recruiting through their women partners that are women who are attending antenatal sessions in various maternal child health spaces facilities,
mm-hmm.
and in that we will recruit through them. We'll even go to workplaces, you know, so as to engage men around issues of motherhood, positive parenting as well.
Yeah.
And also, this endeavor, Men Care, it's having three components.
Yes.
One was around media, which was around presenting this media revolution so that we can have a mass engagement around parenting social gender norms.
Yeah.
But also there was another aspect around policy work, you know. But you remember that in South Africa, the current maternity leave is not enough for many women, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the current maternity leave put women really in a very burdensome way.
Yeah.
Because everything relies upon them.
Yeah.
And some workplaces, they will tell you that if you want 4 months, it will give you, but it won't pay you, you know?
Yeah,
so we needed to really make sure that the law really, really protects women.
Mm-hmm.
But in our submission that we made in Parliament, and that was greatly welcomed by South African Labour Department,
yes.
led by Mrs. Yengeni, I remember when we made that submission.
Mm-hmm.
One was to strengthen the current maternity leave from 4 months to 6 months.
Yeah.
Two, to say we are deliberate and wanting to have a paternity leave, you know. And we were not pushing paternity leave, but we were pushing parenting leave.
Yes.
But we needed actually to segregate it into pieces to say maternity 6 months for the start. We said 10 days for paternity leave. You remember that fathers are having 2 days responsibility leave.
Right.
Responsibility doesn't stretch.
Yeah.
If I lose my child, part responsibility to this.
Mm-hmm.
If you happen to be sick as my partner, I'm using the same 3 days. This 3 days does not stretch, you know. It's not enough. And no wonder, you know, even business is to be blamed as to why men are not actually supportive of their own partners, but also not participating in issues of maternal child health. Because they usually don't have time, you know, to give it to them that they can access. But PS, may I not justifying the ills of men, but I'm just saying, in terms of legislation currently, it was difficult for them. So we presented these 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Even with, in fact, radical afford to say, people of the same sex must enjoy the same benefits, you know?
Yeah.
If I'm saying 10 days, they didn't get 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So we presented that in the Parliament of the Republic, and I must say to you, for the first time in South Africa, with all the drama that you normally see in our South African Parliament, for the first time that opposition and the governing party were singing in the same hymn book, in the same wavelength, to say this is long overdue.
Yeah,
you know, and the paternity leave was approved, and we expect that it will be gazetted as into law in our own country.
Yeah.
And you know, we made that inroad. So that was one second part of the intervention of men care. One
media
two policy, but the other one, which is the very important one, where the direct intervention,
mm-hmm.
where we set up father schools.
Yeah.
Even in my visit here in the Eastern Cape, I'm busy in the rural area setting up father schools so that we really unwind this presence of the absence of fathers in the lives of children.
That's a wonderful thought, to have father schools, my goodness. I mean, you know, and it's a concept we've never really had before, where there would be father schools, and mostly even associated with just schools would be mothers. Mothers would usually be, you know, the parent who would be present everywhere concerning the child. So,
So these father schools will culminate to parenting sessions where we bring both partners.
Mm-hmm.
Now that the new life, the new addition, how do we assist fathers really determined and delivered?
Yeah.
But I always tell the many fathers in our own country and across the globe, that's the magical moment, you know, when one's partner is pregnant. That's one of the most important phases of our lives.
Yes.
How do we support our partners while they are pregnant?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when women are seeing the first kicks of what they carry, you know,
mm-hmm.
Those are exciting moments.
Of
they would want to share with someone, you know, and I'm saying it is proven psychologically, bonding of fathers with the child.
Yes.
At pregnancy level.
Mm-hmm.
So for us as fathers, it is very, very important that we begin to treasure those magical moments. It becomes a bonus for us as fathers
to
be there when the child is being delivered. Believe you me, you know, we will see the pain and agony that the many women undergo when they bring child into this world.
Yeah.
If many fathers are being exposed to that, there will be less street kids. There will be less kids that go to school without shoes, without even lunch boxes for them to feed on.
Yeah.
So fathers would then take responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be your responsibility to the question of contraception.
Mm-hmm.
I will know myself that, you know what, parenting, it's a lifelong responsibility, 24/7, you know, a week. It's enormous work, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
You know, and this is being seen as soft work and unpaid work for women. But if we begin to embark on that kind of care work as fathers, the better for women, the better for us as fathers as well, but the best for a child that is growing in that environment.
Absolutely. I cannot agree with you more. Patrick, I just wanted to ask you also, have you encountered challenges in your work and even, you know, within the Men Care campaign, and what would those be, if any?
Well, there's been a number of incidents from men, you know, particularly men running behind culture and using religion that they are the head of the family and the issue of equality. It's something foreign that comes from the West and all that. You know? And for me, we always say there's plenty of benefits for Bahi'i in gender equality. And it is with the gender inequality, you know. But also the infrastructure, if I look back at the men care intervention where we set up this in the father schools and parenting sessions, the infrastructure was not up to scratch designed for both parties to participate. You know, I remember at one of the maternal health care, child health care center, Michael Mapongwana in Khayelitsha.
Yes.
The delivery room was an open room.
Yeah.
So there was no privacy. If the father wanted to participate, it was going to be a humdinger.
Yeah.
So we needed to say, change this infrastructure. But also the policies that prevailed in that space as well. Starting from security personnel at the gate.
Yeah.
You know, men would be excited to go and drive together with their partners.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring their partners, security personnel will say, no, only for pregnant mothers. You can park here and allow her to move. You know?
Yeah.
So we
yeah.
have to change a lot in terms of that. But also,
and do you find, Patrick, in your work with your conversations with faith-based and cultural-based organizations, that they are open to conversations in terms of, you know, the religious views and cultural views, and as well, and including gender justice, because it's an issue of justice. You know, are they open to conversations like those?
I must confess, they are very open to such a conversation, especially Christianity and African traditional religion, Islamic religion.
Yes.
You know, some are still very rigid. You know, I don't want to badmouth religions on air.
Sure, of course.
Some are very, very, very mature in their own approach. They are very machismo. They close ranks, you know. But the truth of the matter is, the ones that I've mentioned are the ones that were actually even inviting us. You know, I mean, one of the biggest Christian organization, church in denomination in the country is leading here in the province of Eastern Cape a summit on Ukutwala, the abduction of children.
Yeah.
We are glad that the faith-based organization is leading this so that, because they have got a captive audience as the faith-based, because that's the beauty of
what. Absolutely. I think, you know, in the organizations, religious and faith-based organizations, there's a lot of power and there's a lot of authority almost in terms of their opinion, and when they lead, often the congregation will follow leadership.
Absolutely, because remember, a patriarchy, you know, gives power and authority to men, you know?
Yeah.
That for me, that's why it is imperative that we work with those gatekeepers, so that there should be a shared understanding of this power and authority, you know? They're better for us as human beings across the spectrum. So in responding to your question, those are some of the positives that we've seen, you know? In as much that in some of the father schools were happening in faith-based spaces.
Yes.
You know, and I must say to you, culture is changing, you know, because we believe that culture is a way of life that is dynamic.
Yeah.
But once a culture becomes static, then it tends to be stinking and presents harmfulness than presenting a life. Because, you know, if we are talking about the running water, the dynamism, running water like the waters of the sea, they present life, they present freshness. So we want culture to evolve, we want culture to move, you know, and that dynamism must take place. I mean, you and me understand that back in the 18th century, women were seen as carers of children at home, but today, 21st century, women are at the workplace and they are taking key position at the workplace.
Yes.
You know, things are changing.
Yeah.
And you must allow that dynamism to take place in every sphere of life. Men of equality do not fear equality.
And I think that is a critical trick. I have so many questions I still want to ask, and I'll just want to mention to you what's going through my mind. First is, I would like for us, and I don't know in your work whether you do encounter this, but I wondered whether you have cases that you deal with, where you deal with the effects of gender injustices on different levels, whether you do, whether that is included in your work, and what have you found, you know, of those effects of gender injustices. And then I'd like to also speak about the equality versus to be equitable instead of equal, whether that is, you know, a discussion that you're having with the work in your father's schools. And in relation to that, the issue of justice and power and authority and respect and those types of constructs. But let's first go to the question of, do you see cases, work with cases that come to you? You are in a faith-based organization and, you know, a situation is brought to you where you experience the effects of gender injustices?
Well, the response is a big yes.
Goodness, I didn't even think it would be yes.
Yeah, please visit our website. There's quite a number of cases that we have taken to the court of law, some for mediation and arbitration.
Yes.
We took one of the biggest faith-based organization in Cape Town.
Yes.
That has got roots from America.
Yes.
Who, in their own Christian teaching, the curriculum that was instilling and instructing parents to use a stick as a form of socializing and disciplining children.
Yes.
And you'll be surprised by this. From 0 to 12 months, 18 months, the size of the rod was actually stipulated zero.
Yes.
Not from birth until 18 months.
Yeah.
The size of the rod was stipulated what to use and when to use it.
Okay.
So we took that to Human Rights Commission.
Yes.
And we were on the winning side in that one.
Yeah.
And they appealed the decision.
Yes.
So we are still waiting for that to be reviewed by Human Rights. And we are prepared to take it to Equality Court as well.
Yes. Yeah.
And if you look at number of cases of women being violated through rape and ultimately murdered,
yes,
children included,
Sonke,
where I am at, I'm running a gender norms transformation workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And the next week, about 3 days, we'll be having community dialogues.
Yes.
At the traditional settings.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the issue there is the issue of rigid cultural norms.
Yes.
You know, we are unwinding them and critically looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know for the fact that some men are using violence against women, and they, when they justify themselves, they said, in my culture,
yes,
expect of me to discipline my partner.
Yes.
Even if, you know, me and you, we are in a relationship, a marriage relationship, I get divorced, you divorce me.
Mm-hmm.
Even if we're having divorce, you know, I'll always expect of you to pretend as if you are my loving partner.
Mm-hmm.
Things are normal. Expect hug from you, expect kisses from you, and yet we are divorced.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Men, does not think well unto them that it's no longer our own loving marriage relationship. It has come to an end.
Yes.
So the whole notion of patriarchy, that is embedded on men to think that we own women as one of our own assets. When we count our own assets,
mm-hmm.
Inclusion, we start with women and then include the men because we love the most. So Songke has been supporting a number of cases across the country.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the case of Julius Malema,
mm-hmm.
during the trial of Jacob Zuma and Quincy.
Mm-hmm.
When Julius Malema made derogatory statement, we took him to Equality Court,
mm-hmm.
and we demanded simple things that men seldom say in public.
Yeah.
That's to say, I am sorry.
Yeah.
After the Black and Fund and the many insults equating us to Mickey Mouse's, from, who are being used by the West with a Western agenda, mm-hmm. he humbled himself and said, I am sorry.
Yeah.
And he ultimately paid, you know, the penalty that was actually leveled against him, 50,000. And they took the money to the shelter of women power,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
So there's a number of cases. Recently, the case of the ANC, former ANC, Ludwig in Johannesburg, who used Shambok in beating up her own girlfriend,
yeah.
Mandelene,
yeah.
Until she died.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we followed the case and supported that family.
Yeah.
We didn't call it because these were ANC members, but prominent figures. We want to make sure that we are sending a firm
yes.
message, but also to ordinary men on the street.
Yeah.
We want to make sure that they don't have a space and justification to say they abuse women and children of our own country.
Yeah.
So we've been brutal in terms of following those cases. But I must say to you, access to justice
yes.
for ordinary women and yes. ordinary person
yeah.
on the street is a tough exercise.
Yes.
That tough exercise begins at the police station. You
yeah.
come across with police men and women who even say, repeat what has happened, secondary victimization
yeah.
of a victim.
Yes.
No social support given. You go to national prosecution, you know, it takes donkeys, ages for your case to be done,
mm-hmm.
you know. There are cases of Zoliso Nkonyana who took 6 years in Cape Town. She was gang raped because she was a lesbian, gang raped and ultimately murdered.
Yes.
You know? Took 6 years. And we think justice can do better. We've seen it. Our justice system during 2010 World Cup in South Africa. Everything was done efficiently.
Yeah.
We wanted to see the same figure even under normal circumstances
yes.
of our own existence as citizens in South Africa.
Yeah.
So justice system delays in South Africa. And in law mm-hmm. and in justice delayed is justice denied. It's as
yeah.
simple as that.
Yeah.
I have a letter that is in the inbox of the deputy Minister of Justice of our own country,
mm-hmm.
JJ. You know, he was in an imbizo in Tembalabantu in George.
Yes.
You know, he was talking beautiful about Justice Department that they are quick in solving cases. I mm-hmm. said to him, I have got cases of 13-year-old children.
Yes.
One was severely beaten by a school teacher in Broadhouse. That case is still at the regional court, being postponed, even to date.
Yeah.
There's a case of a young girl, yeah, in Butterworth, mm-hmm. in the Eastern Cape, a school principal of a similar age with me, 53,
yeah.
who raped allegedly raped a 13-year-old school-going child
yeah.
in this province, Eastern Cape.
Yeah.
So Song has been following. I put that in black and white, presented to the deputy minister to say, I differ with you. For me, this thing of saying we are very swift in solving cases, these cases were cases of 2015. We are in 2017 now. Those cases didn't find their own finality in the court of law.
Yeah.
So I'm saying to you, much as we do support these cases, our own advocacy,
mm-hmm.
we're even challenging the ministers because
so,
we want to hold everyone accountable.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, the initiative that you're taking in terms of on all the levels to be able to address it is really admirable. And knowing that Sonke Gender Justice is not a huge organization, but then, as you say, there's a lot of collaboration with other organizations. And that's really, really great. I just want to ask, and we're kind of coming to the end and conclusion of our conversation. I just would like to have a conversation with you in regard to when you're having conversations with just your ordinary men or even men in faith-based organizations, and whether there is a discussion around if there is a sense of justice, you know, whether they can see, you know, for example, if there is with the idea in faith-based organizations, and you know, that there would be leadership leadership from the man in the family. For the most part, many cultures, many religions would have that idea and thought and premise that the man takes leadership. How do you try and get them to see leadership does not mean overall power? Leadership does not mean that I have an authority that is lies embedded in injustice and disrespect. You know, how do you do that? And also, is that a conversation that is being had?
That's the conversation that we had this afternoon with a group of men and women coming from various villages,
mm-hmm.
in the training that I'm conducting in the place called Engobo.
Yeah.
You know, for us to be just and fair in the topic, you know, it is very, very, very important that we begin to define culture so that these men and women can begin to see what we mean by culture.
Yeah.
Because some people are using culture and religion as a scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to you, culture is a way of life that is dynamic. So that dynamism must be there. But if that culture is on standstill, is stated, that water now has become stagnant and ultimately becomes harmful for many of us. Yeah. Same applies to a culture that is not dynamic. It kills mm-hmm. many of us. But also, yeah. we must put this in a very, very, very logical framework. When we talk about issues of injustice, mm-hmm. they emanate from the patriarchal system,
yeah.
you know? You know, patriarchal system, we need to really, really simplify it for ordinary men and women so that they begin to understand that system benefited men throughout ages, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And most of our own religions, most of our own societies are embedded on patriarchal system in their own approach. So if we start exposing that as a kind of a background, but also equate racism to sexism. Everyone in South Africa and across the source of South Africa hate racism.
Yeah.
To the core.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you are saying racism is discrimination based on race,
yes.
what is sexism? Allow them to explain what is sexism. They will say it's discrimination based on sex.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hate racism, why do you love sexism? They'll say, no, we don't love sexism. It's wrong as well. Mm-hmm. So if it's wrong, we must, as men, take part in saying we'll do better to our own sisters, to our own partners, to our own colleagues, to our own peers that we live.
So what you're saying is it has to be evident in the lived experience of, you know, so you don't just hold this intention, but you actually have to live by that. I just want to ask Patrick, and really it's been such a great conversation that I've been having with you. I wanted to ask you, and I think we have probably about 2 minutes left over, whether there is a particular message that you would want to send to all the fathers, all the men, all the boy children who will be listening to this program at this time, please.
Well, the message on behalf of Songa Channel Justice is short and simple, straight to the point. I want to call upon to all men, young and old, to say let us refuse to take risk and take responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is such a profound statement to make. And really, I think it's such a responsible statement to make. You know, Patrick, last week we had an SMS that had come in or a message on WhatsApp, and the person had said, you should do a few programs with Patrick because it's really been great to listen to him speaking and having a conversation in terms of, you know, bringing and wanting to bring justice to both genders and to have the respect of both genders within a cultural and religious milieu or a God-conscious milieu. So at this stage, I just want to say thank you very much. We will be in touch in the future where we can speak more about your particular projects and also how our communities can get involved and also ask for you to perhaps have workshops and so on with them. But if someone wanted to contact you at this stage, what would be the way in which you would recommend that they contact you, and what would be the information, please?
Well, the number that we normally use is the number of our office in Cape Town, 021
yes
423
mm-hmm.
70 double H.
Okay, I've got that number.
The O, because we're living in an era of technology.
Yes.
You can go wah at pianojustice.org.
Okay. Thank you so much, Patrick. Really, I appreciate your time and I appreciate the work that you're doing. Really, I salute you and I salute the organization. I think you're doing great work. I'm particularly, you know, chuffed with Father Schools. I mean, really, that is just so stunning. So, Patrick, thank you so much and good evening.
Thank you. Have a blessed evening.
Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Patrick Godana, who is the Mencare Government and Media Management Manager, and he represented Sonke Gender Justice. The number to contact Sonke Gender Justice is 021-423-7088. That's 021-423-7088. Or you can go to the website www.genderjustice.org.za and you can then read up in terms of the work that they're doing, the projects that they're having at the moment. You would have heard some of those. And also, if you would like them to come and work with your organization, your school, your sports club, your faith-based organization, then that's the way to get in touch with them. So I thank you for having been a part of this part of my program.